This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a brisket?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Good afternoon and welcome to this 88th Masters edition of On the Tee, Florida. Two pros and a hack brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com, our platform, and our streaming channel, FloridaSportsStreams.com. It's April 11th, a lovely day here in St. Petersburg after the storms pass through. Same scenario up there in Augusta, Georgia. And we will be talking to a couple of gentlemen that spent the last couple of days there. That'll be a little right after we come out of the opening here. On the Tee, Florida, as I mentioned, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and Sea Dogs Brewing, serving breakfast daily. And across from me, Tom Gribben, St. Petersburg's most interesting man and accomplished author, promoter, musician, lawyer, and now my sidekick on the Tee, Florida.
The master of disaster.
I'm sure you've cleaned up many more disasters than you've created in your world with the diverse characters that you've worked with, comedians, rock bands, prima donnas. I'm sure, my friend.
Start with prima donnas.
Yeah, but prima donnas. You just seem kind of like the kind of cat that just doesn't get rattled. They can go off and you say, are you done yet?
Not my younger days.
Yeah, you had a little fire yourself, did you? All right, and of course, up there in St. Augustine Beach is John Rager,
yes.
PGA of America, teaching professional, our man with the plan each and every week, and Bill Buttner, the other pro. He is right now heading south down here to God's country, and he'll join us in a few moments as well. John Rager, some great action so far. The 88th Masters started yesterday, in my opinion, with the par three. I just love the personal story of Gary Woodland and what he's been going through with his brain surgery. And then they get a hole-in-one with his kids there and his wife. I got to admit, shed a tear on that one. And then one of my favorites, Ricky Fowler, went in and giving himself the curse that you're not going to win the Masters. And he probably didn't have much of a shot anyway. But I thought they got a lot more fortunate than they were predicting from a weather perspective today. And it's been some great action all afternoon.
Oh, yeah, this is just a wonderful time of the year to watch the Masters. For our listeners out there, I'd advise you to make sure you download the Masters app because you can watch the whole thing. You don't have to wait till 3 o'clock in the afternoon to watch it on TV. You don't have to wait to listen to us give you a leaderboard. You could go right to that Masters app, and you can follow along all the action live. You know, they have Amen Corner. You have featured groups. In fact, they have a fantasy golf game that none of my broadcast partners decided to get into. So it's just me and Wild Bill Stroh in the On the Tee Florida Golf League Masters fantasy game. So we'll see how we do on that. But, yeah, it's a real treat because they only had a rain delay today about just under 2 hours. So the first tee time got out there about 10:30 this morning. So they'll, of course, be playing till dark. The last group went off just before we came on the air. So with that, you're going to have a continual golf all the way to dark. And the story of the day so far is Bryson DeChambeau, who shot 7 under par, 65. So I can tell you that was probably a great round and great timing because it's really windy now. I mean, it's windy here in Florida. It's windy up there with big gusts of wind. And, you know, the only thing that makes Augusta National play difficult if you're hitting it well is just the wind. You can't predict what the wind's going to do, whereas you can predict the green speed and you can predict where you're going to hit the ball off the tee and all the different variables, but you just can't predict the wind. So he got the lucky dog drawing because he got off early and finished up with his 65. So if you're out there this afternoon, I don't know if there's any more 65s in anybody's bag out there this afternoon. So the luck of the good tee time. But yeah, it's exciting. In fact, you know, when we do our radio broadcast, sometimes we really don't have the anything on the television because golf's already over for the day. But we're kind of lucky. We're right in the midst of it. So I've got two tablets and a laptop and the cell phone going here and watching all kinds of groups play. So looking forward to a great Masters broadcast here at Ferg's 19-hole clubhouse in the Ice Pick Studios. So looking forward to that. That was the feature of our social media today. And if you look at our social media, you'll see the famous Masters gnome on right under the Ferg's world-famous 19-hole clubhouse globe that sits outside the restaurant.
Your boy, Victor Hovland, he's a sleeper.
Victor Hovland is a sleeper. You know, I think everybody in the world has to pick Scottie Scheffler right now. I mean, obviously, he's the favorite. But, you know, one of the things is, too, with the Masters app and the fantasy golf game, they let you pick an American player, anybody you want. You pick a past Masters champion, and then you have to pick an international player, and then you can pick a wild card. So I picked Scottie Scheffler, and then I went to the past Masters category, and I looked at that, and I think I picked Dustin Johnson, and then I went into Roy McIlroy for the international player, and you know what I did, and Xander Schauffele picked him for the American player, excuse me, and then I picked Brooks Koepka as my wild card pick. So those were my four picks today. So anyway,
You didn't pick Hovland. I thought he was one of your.
I did not pick Hovland, but you know, and he wouldn't be a bad pick. But you know, lately, the word on the street is he's getting a little too technical with his swing. He had a great finish to the 2023 season, and he's just started out with a dud this year. He's not able to play very well. On the street is he's just getting too technical with his golf playing. You know, and you don't want to do that. You know, just you got to dance with who you brought.
Well, he's on his third coach. His third coach at this stage in the game. Right before the Masters, he went to his third coach, and they asked him about that. And as you said, he's trying to define his playing and all the specifics. And he's overthinking it. You know, kind of like Bryson DeChambeau did back in the day. But he obviously he's got some things going on today, sitting at 7 under.
Well, he's putting. I was watching. He's putting like a god.
Well, and that's where his weakness was. The last two opening rounds, he was 10 over on number one the last couple of years. 10 over.
Well, the other thing about Bryson, too, which, you know, he would be a good solid pick because not only obviously because he's leading, but, you know, when he first played in the Masters as an amateur, he was a low amateur that year. So, you know, he does play this golf course well, has some experience. I think he got humbled the first couple of years after he turned pro because he came on the scene claiming he can try to hit every par 5 and 2, and it's a par 68 versus a par 72, but the golf course corrected that. But, yeah, there are longer holes now. On the pink dogwood, the second hole, you've got it about 10 yards longer. The 13th hole is now like 35 yards longer, but the whole golf course measures 7,555 yards. And one of the interesting things is the chairman's press conference with Fred Ridley does it every year.
Your buddy Fred Ridley.
That's right, you know, and he talked about LIV Golf, and he talked about the ball rollback as far as the distance, and he talked about a lot of things that you normally wouldn't think that a chairman of Augusta would talk about, but it sounds like he's just trying to put the record straight, but somebody did ask him about LIV Golf, and he said, hey, you know, he gave an invitation to a LIV golfer that didn't earn his way in. Well, Fred said he did. You know, this is an invitational. We've never portrayed ourselves as having the strongest field in golf because we have past champions and some of them a little bit older and we have some amateurs in the field. So, you know, we don't portray to have the strongest field, but we think somebody should be here. And so Joaquin Newman, not only because he played well on LIV Golf, but he played well and won the Australian Open, which is one of the premier tournaments down under. And by that, he got in. So I think the vibe he was given, if you're a LIV golfer, and you're not otherwise qualified, for example, as a past champion, you can get in this tournament if you play some other tournaments that aren't LIV Golf and do well, too, that are notable.
Well, you know, I was super impressed with, of course, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame inductee, Fred Ridley. As I said, a good friend of yours, and it was cool to meet him a couple years ago when he was inducted over at Raymond James Stadium. But I was very impressed because I think, you know, he's a voice across the world from a golf perspective. And it was good to hear him talk about other topics because right now nobody trusts Monahan, obviously, for what comes out of his mouth. And I thought Fred did a superb job with his delivery of the, you know, the state of the Masters. But, you know, and then saying, you know, with the equipment changes, the potential for, you know, he said the Masters Augusta will never be around 8,000 yards. And I know you saw the same press conference, but I was utterly impressed.
Well, another thing about the Masters, I mean, it's one of those tournaments. It's a major, but he really did say it. You know, I'll say it again. It's talking about where you don't have the strongest field in golf because it is an invitational. But they also have taken a stance too that like, imagine if you just didn't have any of the live golfers who won the tournament in the past come back and play. You know, all of a sudden that tournament would be diminished. There would have an asterisk next to it because you wouldn't have all the best players that have won this tournament in the past. So I think the majors have to be careful looking at this, especially when you start talking about the PGA Championship and you start talking about the Open Championship. If you start excluding golfers who are obviously some of the best golfers in the world, and you're relying solely on the official world golf rankings, you're going to have some people not in the tournament that aren't the best players in the world. And if you're touting your tournament as the majors with the best players in the world, you've got to be careful not to get diminished on that. And I think that's where the PGA Tour right now is having challenges because they don't run a major championship. The Players is not a major championship. So it's not like, it's not going to diminish that tournament, but it's never going to get that tournament elevated to the point it needs to be considered the fifth major if you don't have all the world's best players there.
Yes. Hey, speaking of the best players, let me rewind a little bit. Were you watching when Tiger played the second hole?
Yes, I would. He was. I saw where he hit it left of left.
I was driving the second hole. So I left him with the ball at the base of that tree. How did he get out and par that hole?
Well, what he did was, it's a downhill, par five. And, it's one of those things for our listeners out there, too. Unless you've ever been to the Masters, you don't really realize how much elevation changes and undulation there is.
Yeah.
And so the second hole, what he did, behind the tree, so he punched it out into the fairway about 40 yards and had a lot of roll to it, and he still had about a 6-iron in from about 200 yards.
Oh,
and
Lord.
So I think Tiger right now, obviously he's always going to be in contention at the Masters. I think that the challenge for him right now, he's got the late tee time, so he'll be playing till dark. He'll have to come back and finish in the morning, so you're going to have a little bit more marathon golf for him tomorrow if he has the stamina. But the other thing about Tiger, what I noticed, and it just on a first couple of holes, this is purely anecdotal, but you got to really have a good idea of distance control. And if you haven't been playing competitive golf, you get a little pumped up or this, that, and the other. You can't control the distance. You hit a shot, and if you're 5 yards off at Augusta or any golf course, you're in places that you can't get up and down from.
Mm-hmm. Hey, did you see how big he was, John?
How big he is?
He's big. I mean, thick.
Oh yeah. Well, he works out. He lifts those weights. He's strapped.
Hey, we're doing a disservice to our audience that just hopped in their car. Why don't you go over the Michelob Ultra leaderboard there for me, John, or I can do it. And they're probably wondering, here we are rambling on, but we didn't give them the leaderboard, which is an interesting leaderboard, to say the least. And
tell them about DeChambeau at -7. We told them who was
so the latest I have right now is Bryson DeChambeau, who was 7 under par, and we talked a little bit about that. Then tied for second is Danny Willett, who won the Masters, I believe, in 2016. He shot a 4 under par 68. Now, Will Zalatoris, who made his debut not as in the Masters, but his debut as somebody that could be a contender and played well in the Masters in the past before he's injured. He's 4 under par. He's got 3 holes to go. Scotty Scheffler has played 13 holes, and he is tied for second also at 4 under. So I'm looking, for maybe a 1 or 2 more under of some of these guys coming in. Then you have Ryan Fox there at tied for fifth at -3. Matthew Fitzpatrick, who won U.S. Open, he's at -3 through 14 holes. Corey Connors from Canada is -2, shot 70. And so if you just go down the list, hey, let's pop down here a little
bit. Rory McIlroy, 2 under. Rory's 2 under. Yep.
Yeah, McIlroy's at 2 under through 14. So, and that's good for him because he normally gets a bad start in this tournament. So, yeah, there might be some good vibes for him to finally secure that Grand Slam major that's been elusive. In fact, I saw a statistic the other day that Rory hasn't won a Masters since almost 10 years. And there are a slew of people who've won Masters, like Phil Mickelson has won a Masters, within the last 10 years, and Rory hasn't. So this could be a big breakthrough for Rory. Wyndham Clark, who's never played Augusta until like a month ago for a practice round. And he's the fourth-ranked player in the world. And Wyndham Clark is his first time going around Augusta National, which is tough. And no one's won the Masters their first time since 1979 with Fuzzy Zeller.
Wyndham Clark.
Yeah, so so Wyndham Clark's minus two. And then our boy Victor Hovland, who is the Tom Gribben's favorite, he's minus two through 12. So looks like he's getting some of the kinks worked out of the swing there. And let's just skip down a little bit here down the list.
Hey, give me a Zach Johnson update.
Well, we're going to go down the list. I'm going down the list. Yeah, Tiger Woods right now, even par, tied for 28th. But it's very early. A lot of these people haven't hardly played any golf here. I'm trying to find Zach on the leaders. There he is. Zach is tied for 80th right now. He shot 76 today, 4 over par.
Damn.
And then somebody who's dueling down the stretch here through 16 holes, also 4 under par, tied for 80th. The cursed Ricky Fowler, who won the par 3 championship yesterday. He got the curse. And then if you look at 65-year-old Fred Couples, 64, 65 years old, he's plus four. He's tied for 80th. And Jose Maria Olazabal is finished at plus five. So, what they do is also the champions quit playing when they reach 65. So I don't know if Freddie's 64 or 65. I don't think this is his last Masters, but it was supposed to be Bernhard Langer's last Masters. And he got hurt playing pickleball.
Freddie's 63. So
See, 63 grit. So Freddie's got a couple more years. So different than years past. Sometimes for some of the players that play longer than 65 years old, and I think that's a good rule because you want to be out there and be competitive, but you don't want to get out there and clog up the golf course. You won the Masters. You've been back every year. Like a Gary Player. This is his 57th Masters that he's been to.
Hey, let's bring in the fellow pro there, John, that was up there watching Gary Player, and he's our own Bill Buttner, of course, head professional one of the professionals at St. Pete Country Club, head coach. He was at Eckerd College and a 15-year veteran of the PGA, and he and Dylan Hogan are driving south as they just left the wonderful grounds of Augusta and the Masters. Where you at, my man?
We are somewhere in the cornfields of southern Georgia.
Well, I figured that because we're trying to pick you up earlier. But let's dive right into yesterday. How cool was it watching the par 3 contest? I've had a couple of opportunities to go, and I just absolutely love it when everybody's in a casual mood with their families and a lot of kids this year. But you also get to see the greats like Gary Player, and that guy's just – I was telling Tom Gribben prior to coming on. He's just an amazing human being.
Well, he's always been a fitness freak, and he's always cared about his dietary thing. So he's going to live to be 100. But it was awesome being at the par 3, seeing a lot of a lot of great players, a lot of great shots, a lot of fun. So I had my all.
Hey, Bill, were you able to catch the honorary starters this morning?
We did. We got to the golf course about 9:30, and by the time we made it up through the parking and all that, and the 10,000 people watching, we were able to see Jack and Tom and Gary hit it.
That's wonderful. If you look at the sign they put up there, I saw where, they put their ages up there. I saw what Gary Player said he was 88, and Jack Nicklaus is 87, and the young guy, Tom Watson, was, I think, 76 or something like that. So,
just a mere
they all hit, they all hit in the fairway, and Tom knocked it about 75 yards by him.
I remember going to the Masters one year. I'm not sure what year this was, but if they had Gene Sarazen was still one of the honorary starters, and it may have been Sarazen and Snead, and they gave him these little cargo golf carts. I don't know if you remember those, where they have the one handle. You know, you have that. They don't have a steering wheel. They have like a little handle that's three wheels, and they actually went and they played like six holes. You know, they didn't just tee off and go. They actually teed off and played six holes, and they're driving their carts almost up on the greens and this, that, and the other. So it's just such a treat to see this these old guys tee off there, and it's got to be such a great tradition to have to been there. So, Bill, did you go to the outdoor golf shop? Did you pick up any goodies?
Got a car full of swag.
Somebody might have requested a little bit for the show, but yeah, I had a big list I had to fulfill.
you're a good man. Hey, did you bring a couple of to-go bags of pimento and chicken salad and egg salad sandwiches for me?
Well, Dylan had the egg salad. I didn't have it. He said it was the best thing ever. Wasn't too hyped on the pimento cheese, but the chicken salad was really good. I mean, we had to try a little everything.
Well, from a price perspective, I should have gave you some cash. That had been your expense account. You know, I'm a high roller, so you can get those $1.50 sandwiches and $5 beers and give you a 20 like you are a high roller.
Yeah, now, Tom and I often talk about how generous you are with, you know, sharing the swag. And
hey, this is a positive show, and I don't want Dylan... Dylan thinking I'm a bad human being.
I know, Bill. We're gonna wear our swag in front of Mike.
There you go. Why not? I mean, we'll just have to have Mike see if he's belly up to the bar with us.
Yeah, I tell you, you bring the. We'll give Mike some pimento cheese that has been not on ice for your trip home.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll call it even.
So, what was the coolest thing you guys saw yesterday and this morning of the 1.5 days of action up there?
Well, first of all, it's my first Masters to go see, and I've watched how many 50 of them on TV. So you don't get a perspective on how large the golf course is, how large the atmosphere is. Everything about it is Disney-esque, guys put it. I mean, everything is so well done. The lines are taken care of. It's like parking for food, for merchandise. It was a great experience to kind of see how an organization can run thousands and thousands of people through a great golf tournament.
Hey, that young Florida State graduate sitting next to you, was he impressed? I don't think a whole lot impresses Dylan. Was he impressed today?
I think he was impressed to see Tiger and to see Phil Mickelson. But I tell him, I said, you saw me, so why would he have to worry about seeing Tiger and Phil and all those guys?
Oh, did you guys go over by the practice range when they were getting ready?
Yeah, we sat down this morning with Luke Liss. Luke is... a product of two Carolina Tar Heels. Go Hales! And you knew that was getting in there somehow.
Yeah, but, did you see, speaking of North Carolina, did you see Greg Billings up there? He was up there for the day.
Well, of course, we had a meeting spot at a certain time at a certain place, and do you think he showed? No show.
Hey, Bill, you were mentioning something about that. So, Bill, you're mentioning how larger-than-life everything is there. One of the things I noticed my first time going to the Masters was the fact of how steep and undulated these greens are out there. So where I looked at it, I'm like, I don't know if I could even three-putt any of the greens out there. I mean, so what was your impression of watching them putt on the greens?
Well, as I said, that was the one thing. You see how many levels they have on the greens and how many hills they have to go over to putt over from one part of the green to another. And it's amazing in the wind that they had today that anybody could shoot on the par, nevertheless 65. It's totally amazing to me how much control they have of the golf ball to hit the right part of the green, to hit the right part of the pump. And I mean, it was amazing.
Hey, how were the
Bill, were you able to walk around the whole golf course? So were you able to take the whole thing in, or what was your strategy there to see the course?
We saw the golf course yesterday, so we went down to Amen Corner. We went, not many people were on the practice round, so we had an empty golf course to walk around, and then we went to par three, and then we followed Luke Liz for about three holes, and then met some friends on the ninth fairway, and stood on the first tee watching players. So it was.
Hey, Bill. Bill, did you see whether the water drained down to Amen Corner? I know that the elevation, you can't really see it on the TV, but I know that it quite a bit of elevation there, but all that water that came through, I'm just wondering if it all drained down there and changed the course.
Well, let me tell you what, they don't worry about little things like that. They have pumps, they have things that make this thing mystical, magical. It is so pristine and so well done that a little bit of dessert doesn't matter.
Little Tiger update. He's even through five now. Kind of impressive. Too bad you fellas couldn't stuck around. He got a birdie on number one, which has been kind of a nemesis hole for him in the past. But DeChambeau, did you see him warming up?
Yeah, we watched him for 25 minutes on the putting ring, and it was interesting. He wanted to roll the ball on a line for about 6 feet. And it was an adamant thing that he was doing a drill, just rolling a ball on a line 6 feet, rolling a ball on a line 6 feet. He had tees out, he had all kinds of stuff, and then he would go to the hole and roll it to the hole. And I don't know if he was struggling putting, but he didn't struggle on the golf course today.
Well, he putted like a golf today. Yeah. Like a god. I mean, he was great on the green.
Yeah, 65, not too shabby. Only a handful have ever been under 65 on the opening round. Of course, everybody's buddy Greg Norman shot that sizzling 63 years ago. But
Did you see Greg Norman yesterday? Bill walked around. That made all the headlines. Greg Norman was there.
No, I'm not looking for Greg. Don't worry.
He would remember you.
Well, no, I was just thinking if I'd known he was going to be there, I would have given you an extra card. I would have given you my card. I have you the 1991 PJ Tour set, and see if you could get a Sharpie and a signature on that.
Yeah, we got that one. I got that one too. But Greg, when I looked at him at that bunker at Innsbruck that year, there was some fire coming out of his eyes.
Hey, you know, he had hundreds of people coming up to him and saying they love the LIV. That guy is a BS artist at his finest. Yeah, hundreds of people just happened to hunt him down to tell him how great the LIV was, and they loved the delivery.
Well, he is a marketing genius as far as promoting, obviously, himself, but he also promotes wines and boats and a lot of things that are you know, just high-end class for Greg Norman. So he's
Bill, one of the cool things about the Masters is, and you know, some our listeners may not realize this, but you know, when you watch a PGA Tour event these days, there's so many people inside the ropes, you know, the camera people and walk along media people and friends and family and honorary observers and standard bearers, and all of a sudden, you got 28 people walking down the fairway with the player. If I understand, the Masters is just the player and the caddies. You know, it may be the rules guy. That's it. You know, that's all you got. So I guess it keeps it uncluttered.
Yeah, I was walking with Jim and Young at Bay Hill, met his dad, and we were all walking on the rope. And then I saw his dad yesterday, and he's walking outside the ropes. I guess the fathers or the coaches weren't allowed inside the ropes on that occasion.
Hey, Bill, we're gonna let you go. We're going to come back to you right at the top of the hour. Because of your great advice, I'm having Justin Sheehan on. We're going to get a hold of him, of course, from the Pelican, because and you're going to try to get up there. I'll try to meet you. The Women's SEC Championship is up at the Pelican. And, in fact, I talked to Jeremy Friedman today. He's in L.A. getting ready for an LPGA event. And he said, by the way, you knew that was happening. I said, thanks to Bill Butner, the man with the plan. I said, I know about it now. And so we're going to have a conversation with Justin. He's on a tight schedule.
We have the Sunshine State Conference Championship, Women's Conference Championship, going on the Bayou this Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, as well as the SEC or the Pelican on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday also.
Very good. Well, we'll talk to you after the top of the hour. Answer the phone unless you're on some backwards trail and Dylan has to relieve himself and you have to pull off to a gravel road. Otherwise, we'll be good. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we'll have a conversation with Justin Sheehan. Pretty cool having the Women's SEC Championship here. This has become the hotbed, John Rager, of the LPGA in this area. And if it didn't fall in the Masters, we'd be there. We'll be back on the Tee, Florida.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the Tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Champa Bay Sports Connection. On the tee, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios down here at 13th and Central across from Tropicana Field. Brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs Brewery. Been over there a lot this week. Fred's in town, the owner and supporter of us. And just a great time of the year with the Easter break has waned and the spring break for the most part. So if you're in the area, make sure you get down there right on the Intercoastal, about a block and a half from the Gulf of Mexico. Great location to go and relax. And they got a brand new menu. And that's our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewery. And then, of course, Chris Lewis. We had a meeting down here yesterday. And there's a lot of things going on. Michelob Ultra, who's a good supporter of ours right now, is going to step up to the plate even more. Their big push now, especially with this LPGA and the growth of the women's game, they want to have Michelob Ultra in front of everybody. So with that, I will make the transition over to, we'll talk a little SEC Women's Championship. And this is a gentleman that treated us like kings, John Rager and I, and his entire staff, and Jeremy Friedman, who's in L.A. right now. And he's Justin Sheehan, and they're the host course, the Pelican, for the Women's SEC Championships this weekend. And you got to be excited and busier than heck right now, Justin.
Oh, yeah, it's very exciting to have the best collegiate golfers here. And, yeah, busy, but it's a lot of fun.
So, Justin, who's the favorite to win this year?
Well, I'm not supposed to be biased. I was told that in the meeting this morning. But my sister-in-law is a senior at Florida, so I have to pull for them.
Wow. Well, okay. Well, that's not being biased. That's being smart.
Yeah, it's been a fun couple weeks, too, because my wife, Natalie, caddied for Maisie at the Augusta Women's Amateur last week. Then to have them come down here, it's pretty neat.
So, you know, we talked to you after the Annika, and it's a family business, the world of golf, and you've expanded even more, and now you got the Florida Gators, the ladies, to be pulling for this weekend. When did you guys get this get this tournament as the choice host for it?
I received a text message, I would say, about 6 or 8 months ago, seeing if we had any interest, and immediately, of course, the answer was yes, would love to host it. And I think it's a great compliment for the Onyx in the fall. So we're really excited. We agreed to host it for 3 years at least, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Well, if you deliver anything like you did during the Annika, it will go superbly, and they'll want to re-up. I guess the only question I have, and I was talking to Bill Butner about it, and he's the assistant coach. He was the head coach at Eckerd College in the Sunshine State Conference. Their Division II tournament is also this weekend. You got some grumblings because of running up against the Masters.
I haven't heard any. No, I think it's great. You get to watch them on television, and then a bunch of our members get to pop outside and watch a little bit of the best women players. So, no, I think it's great. And then we have 1 day next week, Wednesday, where there's nothing going on, and then we start the American Athletic Men's Championship next Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, you host that as well? That's cool.
We did last year, and we're going to have it this year as well. So we're full of college events the next 2 weeks.
That's fantastic. I see the format for the SEC championship for the women's. It looks like it mirrors what they do at the NCAA finals, where you play 18 holes of stroke play Friday, then Saturday 18 holes of stroke play, Sunday 18 holes of stroke play, so 54 holes into it, and then you get into match play, quarterfinals and semifinals in the match play championship on Tuesday. So that's a lot of golf. Is this pretty common with the conference championships? They try to mirror what they do at the finals.
I'm probably not the greatest one to answer that, but Mike, I would say that it varies, right? Because the American Athletic next week is 3 days of stroke play, so it's probably a little bit of variance. But it's definitely a long week for these ladies, and we just had their practice round this morning. We changed it, had a 9 o'clock shotgun. They got out for about 2.5 hours and then had a 3 hour delay. So it was a long day today for the ladies.
Well, it is incredible when you talk about women's golf, especially University of Florida. I used to live in Gainesville, and so, once in a while you'd have an outstanding junior golfer, female junior golfer, and you'd want to introduce her to the coach at University of Florida. And the way I understand it, it's so competitive now that these kids are being recruited years on out. I mean, not just like, okay, you get out of high school and you sign your scholarship. They already know all about you by the time you're probably a freshman in high school if you've got the ability to try to play, Division I women's golf. That's the caliber is outstanding.
That's definitely the case. I mean, I'm sure somebody could be sophomore or junior in high school and really get hot and have some coaches take a look, but I would say it's pretty early now.
Well, that's fantastic. So when do you take a vacation? You got any trips planned to get out of there once you host all these tournaments?
Well, as you guys know, summer's coming, so we'll start slowing down here in June and do some work to the course and close it down for a few weeks, get it ready for the fall. But honestly,
do you have any major architectural changes to the golf course? Is it just going to be primarily upgrade and maintenance, or what the plans are?
We're not doing anything major this summer. We've been working on a long-range plan. I wouldn't say to do any major changes. We'd like to tweak a few greens, so that's definitely on the drawing board right now. But for this summer, no, it's mainly, the aerification and verticutting, et cetera.
We've been watching ladies golf the last, ever since we were at the Pelican Club there for the Annika. We keep our ear to the rail much longer. And how about that Nelly Korda this year? I mean, she's won, three in a row, going for her fourth at the Chevron Championship coming up.
She just won her fourth in a row, the match play.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. We did watch the match play. It's the
fourth out
now.
Of five. Four out of five tournaments she's won.
Yeah, but she's won four in a row now, or fifth for the women's first women's major of the year.
I was fortunate about 2020 to spend about 7 months with Nelly, six months or so, and she is the most talented person I've seen every aspect of her game. So it doesn't surprise me. I could see her going on a Tiger-ish run here, especially because the first couple events she had the lead and kind of lost it and was able to regain and win. I think that was a huge confidence boost. It wouldn't surprise me if she has a couple massive years.
Well, I agree with you. You know, she kind of reminds me of Nancy Lopez in a lot of ways, because you, or Annika, or Perry Webb, or a lot of them that would get out there and just flat out dominate, you know, and, you know, win 7 or 8 tournaments a year. And it's pretty amazing to watch this, yet another person coming along making history. I mean, I don't know how many tournaments she's going to win in a row, but I wouldn't count her out next week for sure.
She's fantastic. And on the same sort of topic, did you guys happen to watch the chairman's press conference yesterday? Which,
yes,
they discussed Caitlin Clark and then Nelly. That just tells you where women's sports are, is that during the press conference at the Masters, they're talking about women's sports. So it's just exciting for people like me who love women's sports and grew up in Connecticut watching women's basketball and now being involved in women's golf. I think the momentum's awesome, so it's fun.
Go ahead, John.
Oh, no, I was just talking about Mike, it was a John Deere tournament or something in Iowa this year, and they had a pro-am.
John Deere Classic.
Yeah, John Deere Classic, and she played. She's got a pretty good golf swing, actually, and she played in the pro-am, and like 20,000 people showed up to watch her play in the pro-am.
Well, and Claire Peterson is a good friend of mine through the years of doing On the Tee in Iowa. Claire's ecstatic. She's going to be there again this year, of course. And, I thought that was pretty impressive as well, Justin, that the fact that Fred Ridley, who's a friend of John's, that made that commentary. And as I talked to Jeremy Friedman this morning, you guys that have your finger on the pulse of the women's game have got to be ecstatic in the direction that it's going.
I think it's just going to continue to grow. And I mean, not to go down a negative road here, I think that there could be a little better expression of these players from the media and from television coverage. I think that if people could start learning a little bit more about these players and their stories, I think that would, right. That's why everybody watched Caitlin Clark. It wasn't to watch Iowa basketball. It's because everybody's...
Hey, I'm a Hawkeye. Come on now.
But never in my life would I say, there's Iowa basketball is going to play tonight, and I'm going to plan my evening around it.
No, hell no. I wouldn't do the same thing with your Huskies, though. I might, because Geno's so impressive. I probably would have done that. But you're right. Nobody's watching Iowa basketball.
Iowa and television programming really fits together anyway.
Well, we don't have the eyeballs. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I've loved your comment you just made about Chairman Ridley's remarks about Caitlin Clark and Nelly Korda. And I'll tell you why, because every year when he does the press conference, you know, it's like listening to the chairman of the Federal Reserve. Everybody in the world is going to listen to what they have to say and how they say it, and then read in between the lines. But I think Chairman Ridley did a great job. Kind of expressing, the state of the game as far as they see it at Augusta. And he made a very insightful point that was that, he says, we don't have the strongest fields because we're an invitational. We invite players to come play in our tournament. And we have past champions and we have some amateurs and things like that. So he goes, we're not always going to have the best field. That's what it's about. And, I was impressed that, he invited Joaquin Niemann, who's the LIV golf player, but also won the Australian Open. So, I think the Masters is getting it right. If you have a body of work beyond just one tour out there, you should get invited, and they did. So I thought that was very refreshing.
Well, I'll tell you what, Justin, I know you're up against it, and I appreciate you taking some time to spend a little with us. Bill Buttner and I plan on coming up this weekend sometime, and we'll hopefully run into you. But, you've got great weather forecast. You've got an incredible venue, and it's the SEC. What more could you ask for? And women's golf is on the rise. So bravo, man, for what's taking place up there in old Bel Air, Florida, at the Pelican.
Thanks, and for everybody who can't make it, it's going to be on the SEC Network. So tune in. I think it's going to be awesome.
Hey, Justin, before Mike and Bill get to step out there on the golf course and look around and watch the tournament, make them wash down a few carts or something. They're in their keep before they go out and have a good time.
Hey, I'm a professional cart jockey, so anything you need from that perspective, Justin, just reach out.
I've got plenty of tasks if you want to feel.
All right, my man. Well, hopefully you got a little time. I can say hi to you, and have a great five days. Well, you got 2 weeks of action. We'll probably try to get up there also for see a little USF golf and follow that as well. So have a great weekend though. If we miss you,
thanks all you guys do. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, just take care.
Seeing
take care.
Up there at the Pelican, pretty cool having the SEC championship up there. Hold your horses, fellas. Scottie Scheffler making a run, sitting one back at 6 under with 2 holes to go of Bryson DeChambeau. And as you predicted, DeChambeau may not be sitting there tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
I've been watching a lot. If you've got your the big screens going on at the 19th hole clubhouse.
Just like you, I got my YouTube on my phone, and I've got it right in front of me, so I can...
I watched Scottie Scheffler make a solid birdie on 15, and then he nails it about 6 feet away on 16 and makes the putt. And so I can tell you that, and even McIlroy got into the act and hit it tight on 16, but he misses the putt. So, yeah, it's just falling along, you know? I mean, who knows, the way Scottie's playing right now, DeChambeau may be in second place at the end of the day here.
Well, we all know that if Scottie Scheffler's putter is working, it's game over. He would have won 3 in a row if his putter. But that's how solid his game is right now. If his putter is red hot, they'll be vying for second, third, and fourth place. The rest of the fellas. Hey, we got a new sponsor. Of course, I've been talking a little bit about him. That's On the Job Cart LLC. Tim and the gang mentioned On the Tee Florida to him. You just go to Facebook and it's Plant On the Job Carts LLC. The reason I like these cats, there's no brick and mortar. What they're doing is basically they're out and they're hunting for great deals. They're brokering. You tell them the kind of cart you want. And if you mention us, you get 10% off. And I started looking at something, today's world, most of the golf carts are Cadillacs. Very few of them ever see the golf course. But the reality is, if you want one for a golf course, to go golfing or just to drive around the neighborhood, these guys are the place to go. They got 3,000. I'm looking at a couple right now. They keep them in that reasonable price range, around $3,000.
Can they get me a Rodney Dangerfield golf cart?
I was
Al Chernick.
If you remember during the PGA show, we talked to that company. I can't think of the name, out of Iowa, that customizes them. They're up in the Villages. Remember we talked to those cats?
Yeah, yeah.
I should have asked them. In fact, I need to reach out to those guys and see if maybe they'd want to do a little biz with On the Tee Florida as we make some exciting moves in May and expand our audience.
It's a great new sponsor, though. I like them.
That's oh, yeah. Good. Well, I met the guys, and they're going to be actually, John, they're going to be at the Sea Dogs Brewery tournament that you're the man to plan. You're the tournament director, and that's at Seminole, right?
Yeah, Seminole Lake Country Club coming up May 23rd. So if you go to seadogsbrewery.com, you'll see a link to an entry form. And say hello to Charlie Breakiron. He's the one spearheading it and the major sponsor for this tournament. And it benefits 50 Legs, which is a charity that provides prosthetic devices for kids, that need they can't afford their amputees. And they really can't afford devices or high-quality devices. So they buy these devices for these kids. So it's a great charity, great community support. Plus, you play in this tournament at Seminole Lake Country Club. And then you go back to Sea Dogs afterwards for a great party downstairs, and Charlie promises it's going to be plenty of booze, plenty of food, we're going to have plenty of prizes, and we're going to do our live broadcast that evening from the after party of the Sea Dog 50 Lake Scramble.
I just did a show there on Tuesday. It was our big Monday, but we moved it to Tuesday because we wanted to wrap the NCAA season up. But On the Job Carts LLC will also, they'll have a golf cart out there on a par 3 that you'll be able to take a shot for a hole in one, and I'm looking forward to those guys doing
that. We got to get Patty involved.
Well, Patty's going to be involved. You're her manager. You got to direct her. And now she's moving downtown. I'm sure I'm going to be getting texts. I'll be working up in the office.
Come on
down, have a cocktail.
I'm sure that'll break your heart.
Yeah, just terrible, terrible news. Hey, as I said, Scotty Scheffler just won back. What did I see? Oh, Tiger's at even. Now, when we come back, guys, we've got to talk about this. I mean, Vern Lundquist, the voice, is retiring. And I've seen a couple of interviews with him, and I just keep forgetting how many sports he made incredible calls with. But I would think that either the Jack Nicklaus in 1986 or Tigers, and I think it was 2006, 2007.
There, where the ball hung on the lip and
yeah, number 16 in. There.
Yeah. Great call on that one.
Yeah, great call. But he's had some amazing calls. And Vern Lundquist, the number 16 tower, he'll be hanging it up on Sunday, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, one of his great phrases is, and there you have it, was one of his great phrases too. So, really going to miss him. But, I'm sure he's going to get a great send-off by CBS during the broadcast on Sunday.
You know, Scotty Scheffler, I saw a stat on him, and here he goes again. Scotty Scheffler has played 17 rounds at the Masters. 13 of them under par. So today he'll go 18 out of 18, 14 for 18. That's incredible, John Rager.
Well, you know, at the tournament he won down at the Houston Open. You know, and then he took the week off the Texas Open before the Masters. But he won when he played in the Houston Open. What he did, and he won it. But he four putted the first day, the last hole, for a double bogey. I mean, he missed like three putted from like 3 feet out. So he four putted on that green, and he shot even par. And it's the first time he wasn't under par in like 29 rounds of golf or something like that. It's just something ridiculous.
Well, you know, we talked to Michael Furr last week. He knew him in his younger days, and they called him String Bean. And they interviewed him. The interesting thing was, I don't know if you saw that, his father was a stay-at-home dad and really didn't push him into golf, which I thought was pretty cool. And, you know, he played other sports. But he said it was just something to do, and then I realized that that was my direction to go. And well-grounded young man. And be a great face for golf. I just wish he had a little more excitement when he does these press conferences. So that as the face of golf, people know that he has a personality. But Tiger never really, exposed too much of himself either. He just, you know, his game spoke for himself. And Scotty's starting to get to that point.
Scotty's just matter of fact. That's all. You know, he's not overly confident. Texas. He's not underly confident. He's just a matter of fact. You know, when somebody would come up at the end of the broadcast, I think it was Amanda Balbonis on one of them, and came up and said, hey, did you expect to win this? And he goes, yeah. You know, and he wasn't being arrogant or so. He just knew he was expecting to win it.
But he's a great golfer, but he's not approaching Tigers.
No, by any stretch of the imagination. All right, we got to wind things down at the top of the hour. We'll be back. We're going to have a conversation with Bill Buttner again. He can recap his day and a half up there. And then, of course, we're going to talk to a gentleman that with Cleveland Six on, of course. John brought him into the conversation. We'll be back on the Tee Florida, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks. L.A. Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter has agreed to turn himself into authorities tomorrow to face federal bank fraud charges.
Prosecutors say interpreter Ipe Mizuhara stole more than $16 million from Ohtani's bank account to pay off his own gambling debts.
Mr. Mizuhara lied to the bank to access the account.
U.S. Attorney Martine Estrada says Mizuhara was caught on tape passing himself off as Ohtani to bank employees,
and thereby convinced the bank to approve large wire transfers of large amounts of money to the bookmakers.
If convicted, Mizuhara faces 30 years in prison. Peter King, CBS News.
O.J. Simpson has died of prostate cancer at 76. He was famous for football and later movies, TV, and ads.
Why did Hertz invent number one club gold service?
The KNX radio reporter Vicky Moore tells us he became infamous after his ex-wife and friend were killed in the 90s.
We didn't have social media then, but because the minute-by-minute scrutiny of this case, because of the cameras in the courtroom and the wall-to-wall coverage, as we called it, everybody had an opinion. And in a way, it made everyone feel like they were a juror in the case.
Simpson ultimately acquitted of murder, but later served 9 years in prison for robbery and bribery. At least two people have now died following severe storms and tornadoes in Mississippi. Storms also ripping through parts of Louisiana and Alabama. This man lost his home near Mobile.
It was very terrifying, especially since nobody else got hit. It just happened very quickly.
More storms are expected tonight in the South. Attorney General Merrick Garland says the Justice Department's closing a loophole among gun dealers at gun shows.
Recently, ATF found that the flood of illegal guns into our communities is increasingly driven by individuals who sell guns without a license and who do not conduct background checks.
The Biden administration says those mandatory checks will save lives, but the NRA is calling the new rule unlawful. Instagram will start blurring explicit images young users